Hey everyone, and welcome to our first audio podcast for JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk. You can support us by checking us out at jbbibleandbourbon.com/social. That is all of our social media links in one place. Be sure to follow, like, comment, and subscribe, and help us build out this community. Other links and ways to connect and support us will be detailed in the show notes. Now let's go. Cue the intro.
Well, welcome to JB's Bible and Bourbon Talk, where we talk about things that I am very passionate about Jesus, and I'm very passionate about good whiskey. I am a pastor at a Reformed church in Ohio, and I have with me my good friend, Robert Whistler, who is also, he is an elder at our church. Say hello, Robert.
Hello. I guess I won't say the obligatory hello, Robert, but yes, I did anyway. So
right.
Glad to be here with you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. This is our flagship recording for this podcast, where we are going to dive into some of the messages that we've done at our church, maybe go a little bit deeper, but also have a couple of good pours along the way and discuss those whiskeys as well. So, Rob, what do you have first up in your glass today?
So I think I'm going to do a pour, Weller Special Reserve. A lot of areas it's hard to find, and that's because this is a large bottle. So most of it is right here. So I'm going to go ahead. I've got the handle, so I'm going to go ahead and pour that.
Get a 1.75 liter.
I mean, you can never have too much of a good thing. Am I right?
Right.
So well, what are you?
I like to. I try to have that on hand because that's how I make my, you know, my world famous bourbon infused peaches and cherries, but currently don't have any Weller Special Reserve on my, bar.
You're talking about these
yes.
Famous special excellent.
World famous. Well, maybe not world famous, but
it depends on your scope of the world. Right. It really depends on
a certain group. It's a hot commodity.
It is.
So
it is a hot commodity. And what are you pouring there?
Yeah, I went with a Larceny barrel pick.
Delicious.
I got it while I was in Kentucky a little while ago. Pretty good basic bourbon, 92 proof. Drinks really easy. I think it's a good start to get the pump primed.
Yeah, it's a good start to the day.
Good amount of rye in that. It's got a little spiciness to it. A lot of caramel. I'm getting some good caramel, almost toffee-like on this Larceny. Be a good one to get started with.
Excellent.
So, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to enjoy the nose here.
I just can enjoy the nose on your Weller Special exactly. Reserve.
I always do like the nose on this one.
Yeah, it is a good nose. I not too long ago had... I guess not too long ago, last year, at the party, somebody brought an old school Weller Special Reserve single barrel pick. Mm. And
old school?
And,
the old bottle with the gold vein, or how old are we talking?
Yeah, the old bottle. So
that sounds fantastic.
And it tasted like a caramel green apple. And it was everything I want Weller Special Reserve to be. And I was blessed to get to try it that evening.
That sounds fantastic.
It was wonderful.
I love a good wheated, nice and sweet, a sweet start.
Yep. So we are going to get into, we're looking at a message series that we recently did at our church. The series was just called One. We looked at the different oneness aspects that we find in the Bible. We looked at one God, one church, one flesh. And today we're actually starting with one God as we dig into the sermon series. So Rob, do you want to kind of take it from here?
Yeah. And when Josh and I talked about putting all this together, right, we landed on this series and this message specifically because it's just a great dive into back to basics so we can really start to unpack the message, right? It's focused on the one who created us, saves us, equips us, how the Trinity works in our lives. And this message is, you know, way back, put yourself in the mindset of way back in September of 2021. We'll have a link in the description, I think, down below. We'll see if this works down below. We'll have a link in the description. Go check out the message.
You're going to have to do that magic, brother. You know, I know. Can't do it.
I'll take care of it. So we'll have that link below. Go check it out. And then, you know, if you want to check it out and come back to us or listen to what we have to say and then go back and really let the message sink in that way, that would be great. So, you know, Josh mentioned he's a pastor at a Reformed church. I served as an elder with Josh before he became pastor, was really blessed in that experience. Josh is a lot more gifted at the teaching than I am. So he continued down that path as a pastor. And part of that path was commissioning. And I know, Josh, you get into this in the message. I kind of want to lead off with it and then really let you dive in a little bit more. So as part of that commissioning, Josh had to write a credo. And I think it's really on point and really condenses the message well. So Josh, if you can just kind of, to put you on the spot, go over what that credo was.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is a small snippet of a very large document. Basically a credo, as far as the commissioning process with the Reformed Church of America, is statements of my beliefs as a pastor about who God is, you know, the authority of scripture, you know, things of that nature. So my theological leanings. And so one of the things I had to discuss was what I believe about the Holy Trinity. And one of the things I'm passionate about is people understanding the fullness of the Trinity. But most importantly, more than intellectually, because intellectually, we can't fully wrap our minds around the Trinity. I know smarter people, smarter scholars have tried to, you know, figure this out, and many more to come will try to figure it out. And I'm not the smartest person, and I wouldn't consider myself a scholar, but what I want people to experience more than intellectually knowing the Trinity is experiencing each aspect of the Trinity in their lives. So this is what I wrote about the Trinity in my credo. I believe in God as a triune God as revealed to us in Scripture. He is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And here's the important part, all equal to each other, yet unique revelations of God. God the Father is the creator and sustainer of all things. Jesus is the incarnation of God in human form, sent to redeem us. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God given to guide and direct us in our life and grace and draws us closer to the Father. The Holy Spirit empowers us in our life and grace. So that's what I wrote in regards to the Trinity. Now, a lot of my theology of that comes from different verses. And one of the things that we explored in this message was we can go all the way back to the Old Testament and see the plurality of who God is. You know, and I use a passage that a lot of people would look at and use it to discredit the idea of a Trinity, right? Because I use the Shema, which is Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I looked at, we're going to go ahead and just look at verses 4 through 6. I went through 4 through 9 in my message, but to really see the plurality of who God is in the Old Testament, this is the passage to look at. There are other things to look at, but this one, I think, sums it up very beautifully. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts." So, to love God should be a command that we should be impressed upon our hearts. And this idea, it says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So we could say, okay, let's look at that. That says God is one. How can God be three parts, right? You know, how can God be one but be Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Or as I did in my message, I said, Holy Spirit, Son, Father, because that kind of messes with people's minds. I want people to throw off their preconceived notions of the Trinity of God. When I say Holy Spirit, Son, Father, people think it's out of order because there's this idea that there's tier levels in the Trinity, and people see God as above Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And most people, even if they see God and Jesus as the same level, will put the Holy Spirit below the other two in the Trinity. And that's not true. Each aspect of the Trinity is equal to each other. Distinct revelations with distinct jobs within the Trinity, but they are all equal to each other. So I use that passage because of the Hebrew word that they use for one. Now, the Hebrew word they use for one in that particular scripture is echad. Now, echad, it is a term for one. Now, it can mean one, but it's a compound unity. So it'd be similar to you saying, I saw a group of people. You don't say, I saw 26 peoples. You know, you say,
I might say a group. But I don't have that great of English.
Or one group of people. You know, it's kind of the same idea because they could have easily used the word yahid, which speaks of an absolute singularity. So yahid would have been a better word to use if they were just trying to say our God is just one single entity, one part. But by using echad, it speaks to a compound unity, or what I like also, it's a wholeness or a completeness, meaning that the three parts of the Trinity create this complete one God. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful way of seeing who God is. And also, when we look at this passage, when we look at the Shema, the word for God is the word Elohim. And now Elohim, now this is going to sound strange again, but it's a plural word used as if it were singular. So what we see is this compound unity, that God is one in completeness and authority with all three persons of the Trinity. Now, you know, like I said, I'm not a full scholar. I do study, and I love to dig into commentaries and, you know, study when I write a message. I say I'm not a scholar because that's not my passion. You know, I don't want to ever be like a professor somewhere or whatever. I love to talk about Jesus and get people to draw closer to him. So I went into all that because it's important to know who God really is. And knowing who God is helps us to respond to grace as we should. It helps us to live out a life of grace in him. You know, just like he is complete in the Trinity, offering his love, we should love him completely. You know, he loves us completely. It said in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Sorry, I messed that up a little bit.
Well, so, I mean, the completeness. You came in saying you weren't a scholar, so we'll allow
it. Right. I told you. Plus, I've had a couple
that's
of
the dis-
whiskey,
that's the disclaimer. So. And I think the beauty of the message, right, is just that seeing the plural and the singular, and it is a great way to really see it play out. Breaking up what we often, even if we don't think we're seeing it this way, we're seeing the Father, Son, Holy Spirit as a hierarchy where it's not. And I think different denominations get in some trouble with that, and giving one more credence than another, or downgrading the ability to impact our lives and guide us.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit jarring in a good way, right? To break up kind of that order. So, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm done interrupting.
No, that's a great point, because you will see some denominations who kind of cast aside the idea of the power of the Holy Spirit because there's a fear of the supernatural aspect of Christianity. There is a supernatural aspect of Christianity, And so in order not to feel that discomfort, they will kind of push aside the idea of giftings of the Holy Spirit, saying, first of all, that that was for biblical times and not for now, and more focus on God the Father and Jesus, which, yes, let's focus on those, but let's focus on all three, because in Scripture, the Holy Spirit was the last or the current revelation of God that we have amongst us. You know, God the Father was, you know, the revelation in the Old Testament where he went before them as a pillar of fire. He came down as a cloud on the mountain. And that was the voice that was speaking. You know, Jesus came to the earth. He was God in human form. And he was the revelation at that time. We hadn't fully received the Holy Spirit at that time. Leading up to Jesus and to his death, the Holy Spirit would go upon certain people, but you saw the Holy Spirit just moving around, and not everybody was given or empowered with the Holy Spirit. But then when Jesus died, he said, I'm sending you a counselor. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And that is our current revelation of God here on earth. We are, as Christians, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So to deny that as God is to deny the current revelation that we have. So that's a great point, Rob. And so when I dug into this this message, I really wanted more people to fully understand the Trinity from a relational standpoint. And this is how I you know, as to steal a phrase from another pastor I know, this was my sermon in a sentence, or this is the main idea of what I brought, is how the Trinity works in our lives today. And I said this: the Father hears you, Jesus redeems you, and the Holy Spirit empowers you. That's how you live a life in grace, right? And so to begin, the idea that God hears you, and to hear each of those things that I just talked about, God hearing you, Jesus redeeming you, Holy Spirit empowering you. There's a great passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. And this I'm using the NLT version. And it says this, and actually I'll just go with verse 2 at this point. It says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. So God hears you. The Father hears you. That's my first point in this this series. You know, when I came to Jesus, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I cried out to God, and God heard me. He listened and he responded. And this is what I, you know, for God to hear us, we have to have this communication with him, right? And I use this analogy as, you know, my wife, she works at OSU Hospital. And as a result, we don't have a lot of time together, but, you know, there's always something that I look forward to in the evening. She gets off work around 11 o'clock. And it's a text that usually says something like this. It says, I'm headed home, or I'm headed towards the call. And what that means is that she's coming home, and it brings me joy most nights, you know, admittedly, but you know, it brings me joy that she's coming home. I look forward to hearing that every day. I look forward to spending that time together. But what happens if we didn't communicate like that? What if we didn't communicate every day? We wouldn't have a relationship. Good relationships are built on good communication. That holds especially true in our relationship with God. Here's the truth, and I want everybody to hear this. God wants, he wants to hear from you. He wants to spend time with you. It brings him joy. Yes, he knows what's going on, but he wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear your sorrows. He wants to hear your joys. He wants to listen to you. In fact, we are told, you know, he wants to hear that, you know, we're coming home to him, you know, kind of like those texts with my wife. In fact, we're told that he celebrates when just one person comes back to him. When one lost sheep returns to his fold, he celebrates and it brings him joy. And so another passage I looked at was Psalm 66, verses 17 through 20. This is the English Standard Version. It said, "For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin of my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer." God is listening when we pray. And so that is the key to our relationship with God, is spending time with him in prayer. He wants to hear us, right? You know, and when we talk about the Trinity, most Christians, or all Christians, don't deny that God the Father is fully God, right? There's plenty of scriptural evidence. We understand that God is the Father is God all the way back to Genesis 1:1. So knowing that he is fully God, you have assurance that God the Father, hears your prayers and answers according to his perfect will. So if you want to join in at any time and you want to respond to that, you can. If you have anything to say. It's all good.
What I really appreciate about that, right, is going back to what you were saying before, that I think that when you take away from one part of the Trinity, I think as much as it seems like you're taking that the power away from that part of the Trinity, you're actually reducing, you know, the whole, right? You're reducing, mm-hmm. you're taking away the sovereignty and the authority of God to intervene in your life and in all of these ways as, you know, as part of the Trinity. And yeah, being able to see that. Especially, you know, don't get a big head, you know, expressed in a way that's easy, you know, easier to understand, right? Because it's a difficult process to understand that plurality, the singularity, the equal parts that are all still, even though they're equal, they're fully God, right? And yeah, just being able to break down those concepts of the fullness and equal and the authority and power.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to sometimes understand distinct revelations and yep. equal being equal in authority, right?
Yep.
Because you think of each one is distinct and unique in its revelation to us, but each one is fully God. Now I'm finishing up my first class, which is larceny.
I'm getting very close.
It was darn good.
So
in fact, that's the last of it.
One other thing I kind of wanted to touch on. I may be jumping ahead on your message.
So no, you're good.
Apologies. So one of my favorite things, because I think as you get too caught up in one part of the Trinity and you lose, if you do that, you lose aspects of what the other one is gifting you, right? And speaking into your life. So you talked about that completeness of love, and 1 Corinthians, we've all heard it, right? It's the typical boilerplate. I'm at a wedding. No one knows any other scripture but this one, right? That kind of walks through what love is. But I think it's the other part of it, if you read the context around the verse, which I know is difficult a lot of times, unfortunately. But if I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy, clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and I have all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all that I have and deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. And I think for me, keeping that in focus, right? Because I think is, you know, as people who are mature in our faith, we get a little more into the intellectual piece of it. And yes. you start to lose the reason that we're called, which is to love. And without that, no matter how much knowledge you give people, no matter how much you feel like you're doing for somebody, if it's not a genuine love first, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And to kind of piggyback off what you just said, you said, you know, we tend to complicate things with, mm-hmm. you know, deep theological arguments and discussions. And I've been guilty of that many, many times, but in my devotional reading today, I just remember Jesus, you know, bring it, you know, I'm paraphrasing, obviously having a kid and just saying, mm-hmm. you know, in order to get into the kingdom of God, you have to come to the kingdom of God like this child does, you know, not fully understanding but believing and loving. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that, yeah, like you said, as we grow and mature, we'd like to start to pick apart things. And, you know, we look at, you know, different translations. We look at different things to, we like, I think we like to argue sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
And we get, and it divides the church. But, you know, Jesus is saying, all you have to do is have faith like a child. You know, love unconditionally, have faith like a child. So that's a good point. And so I just poured myself some Sazerac Rye, Buffalo Trace product.
Beautiful. So you piggybacked off my point and off the distillery for my first pour. So that was a
exactly
well done. Good segue. I like it.
I'm a copycat, apparently.
Well, I do have
none. Go ahead.
Not planned, but in my within arm's reach, I do have some Buffalo Trace. Oh, this is the single barrel selection.
Ooh, yeah.
I was gifted by a good friend who is, you know, well, he's over there. He's on, no, is that's, I don't know. He's over there somewhere.
I'm on this side.
But
no, that's a good one that we picked up at an event last year. I picked up and
I missed
it.
Out and I was sad.
Yeah.
I cried. Fetal position.
Well, I bought
pretty sad.
I bought three bottles. Mm-hmm. And shared one with our bourbon group. You know, we do have a bourbon group here. Everybody loved it. Rob especially loved it. Was sad that he didn't get one. Mm-hmm. And I think I gave it to you for your birthday last
year.
You did. Yeah, that and some of my cherries. But
exactly.
I am running low on that one, and I'm like, second guessing being so generous to my friend.
You should. We'll have some when you're here. If that helps you get through, we'll have it when you're here.
Yeah. No, it's always a joy to share good whiskey with very good friends. So kind of going in from the last main point about God hearing us, what I wanted to say about to finish up that point is that God hears us and he listens and he responds according to his perfect will. And the greatest thing that we need as humans is that we need a savior. You know, that's why he sent Jesus. And you can be assured that if you pray to God for Jesus to redeem you, he will hear you. And that's the second, not in order, but the second part of the Trinity that we're going to talk about is Jesus. And his work within the Trinity is that Jesus redeems you, right? Mm-hmm. It's important to fully understand that Jesus is fully God while being fully human. So he has the authority of God in human form. Yes, Jesus has a father. You know, God is his father, if you will, but not in the same way that we have fathers here on earth who have authority over us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have existed together throughout eternity, and they're each equally God. Father and Son here are used in terms to describe relationship. So we know that Jesus is fully God, so he has the full authority of God, and as the same as the Holy Spirit. So what I say is, if Jesus is not God, you haven't been saved from your sins. Mm-hmm. You know, a mere man is not righteous enough to pay the penalty for our sins. Not even angels or celestial beings are righteous enough to pay that penalty. Only God is righteous enough to bear the penalty of our sins. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And this shows that he has full authority. Though he was God, fully God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. So Paul assures us that Jesus is in fact fully God, and that reassures us in our salvation. But he also has the same authority of the rest of the Trinity. That's what Paul is saying here in this passage. So that gives Jesus the authority and the ability to take on the penalty of our sins at the cross and fully redeem us. And I want to say that committing my life to Jesus was the absolute best decision that I have ever made in my life. He set me free from sin and gave my life meaning. And he does the same for everybody, anybody who wants to come to him. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood. So if Jesus is not God, if he is not fully God, in equal authority to the rest of the Trinity, that is not possible. We would not have redemption through his blood if he were not fully God, full authority and equal to the other parts of the Trinity. But we know, as Christians, we know that Jesus is fully God, fully man, sent to redeem us. And that is this, you know, like I said, not in order, but the second part of the Trinity. That's what I want people to know from a relational aspect of the Trinity, that Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. So first we've seen that God the Father hears us, and in our cries to help for him, our help for us, to him, for us, he sent us Jesus, his only son, to pay the penalty for our sins so that we can be redeemed. And I'm going to sip on the Sazerac rye for a moment.
You should. You should. Like I said,
take a quick break.
I will be getting some at our next visit to Kentucky.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not as spicy as I'd like for a rye. At a similar price point, a couple dollars more, I like Rittenhouse rye bottled and bond.
Okay. Get you a little more proof too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, about 5 more proof. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 10 more proof. Yeah. This is 45%. So it's 90 proof. You get 10 more proof on the Rittenhouse rye.
Bang for your buck, like, right there.
$3 or $4 more.
Okay.
A bottle. Not that the Sazerac rye is bad, but I want to look, I would love to see the mash bill on it, because it doesn't taste like extremely rye.
Okay. Doesn't have that normal heat and spicy to it.
Doesn't have this necessarily, or at least this bottle. I don't know if I got a junk bottle or what.
For science, we're going to have to get other bottles and find out for
science.
For science.
Wait, we're Christians. We're supposed to be against science, aren't we?
Exactly. We are. So I guess we're not getting any more. So
for theology.
There you go. Right. Yeah.
We're going to study the Holy Spirits.
I do like that ugly Christmas. That was bad, but I'm about to top it. The ugly Christmas sweater that says bourbon is my Christmas spirit. I like that one.
That is pretty good.
Do you like that one?
Did you go with the second pour yet, Rob?
Well, I did my second pour of the single barrel.
Trace.
Yeah, I'm holding out because I'm doing our featured pour, you'd call it. I don't know. Featured pour, yeah. Whatever.
We will have a featured pour every episode, one that we will kind of talk about. Yep. We never talked about doing a rating system or anything like that, but I think a lot of people do that already.
Yeah, exactly.
Just talk about our thoughts on it, what we use it for, if we like it or not.
Yeah, and this happens to be one that I do like neat and also like as a mixer. So I have through the magic of video podcasting, I have an old fashioned ready to pour. So I'll be doing that as well. So I'm pacing myself and only having the two smaller pours to start the.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're far too early in this podcast for us to get canceled because of me. So we're going to hold back.
I don't know. It might get canceled because of me. I tend to say some stupid
you
things
do.
At times.
You do, but that's okay. I
think about
anyway.
The time I was preaching, and I was trying to think of the word acrostic. And it kind of left my mind, and I was up at the pulpit saying, I'm trying to think of an A word, but none of them coming to mind I can say from the pulpit. And so, yeah.
I find that just didn't work so rattle well. All of them off until you find the right one.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fantastic. That's what I do.
So, yeah. Anyway, so what we've talked about so far is as far as the oneness of the Trinity, you know, is that God the Father hears you. So cry out to him, talk to him. And Jesus redeems you of your sins So it's that committing your life to Christ and living for him. And then what happens when you become a believer? You get empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. So the third thing I talked about in this message was that the Holy Spirit empowers you. And so what I've noticed, and this actually happened in a different sermon I did at our church, is people don't fully see the Holy Spirit equal in the Trinity.
Right.
And one of the things that I had said in the previous sermon was that you can pray to the Holy Spirit. And somebody kind of freaked out a little bit about that. That they felt it was, heretical, almost.
I mean, that's a word. That's a heavy word. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a heresy. Like it was a false teaching. But this is the thing. We worship a triune God. And if the Holy Spirit is God, he is equal to the Son, Jesus Christ, is equal to God the Father. Mm. Otherwise, he's not fully God, right?
Yeah.
So he is equal to the other two. As Christians, we never deny that Jesus is fully God, right?
Right.
And we give him the same authority as God the Father. We definitely don't deny that God the Father is fully God. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And a lot of Christians almost look at the Holy Spirit as a consolation prize, like, oh, Jesus died, so we're going to give you this weird spirit thing to lead and guide you. But the Holy Spirit was not a consolation prize, but the Holy Spirit is God giving himself fully to us in a new, powerful, and unique way, just as Jesus was a new and powerful and unique revelation of God, so is the Holy Spirit. And just as Jesus gave himself fully to us to redeem us of our sins, to bring us salvation, the Holy Spirit gives fully of himself to empower us in our life in grace. The Holy Spirit is not less than the rest of the Trinity. He is equal to the other parts of the Trinity. And I love this quote by Billy Graham. He says this: the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, makes us yearn for God, and takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to go through scripture and have scripture revealed to us in a powerful way. So we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is fully God, and he gives us gifts to live out this life in grace that we've accepted because of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we can look at going all the way back to Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis. We see the Spirit of God working in creation, right? It says the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the earth, and the Spirit was used to assist God in creating the heavens and the earth. And even when Jesus was conceived, that was the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary's womb to conceive God in her womb. And only something that is fully God could create Jesus. Otherwise, it's lesser than God, right?
Right.
So my question was, how could Jesus be fully righteous if he wasn't created by something fully righteous? And the only one who is fully righteous is God. And that God used his Holy Spirit to create Jesus. So we have the Holy Spirit, the power of the kingdom of God, dwelling with us as we live our lives. And the Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts that we use in context of our church, in context of our communities and the kingdom of God. So one of the great ways that I like to sum up the equal authority of the Trinity comes from one of our greatest directive given to us by Jesus And that's in Matthew 28:19, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We don't baptize in any other name other than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And notice how it says the name, not the names. Right. Again, you see that singularity, that oneness, even with multiple aspects of the Trinity. Our God is a triune God, and he loves you, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. So to summarize again this whole message, the Father hears you, Jesus redeems you, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to live a life in grace. And Rob, did you want to interject anything about the Holy Spirit as before we continue on?
So I think just really your summary is great, right? It's breaking down each section of it. It's the full authority, the full power, just that full access to God that we have through all the parts of the Trinity. I think that's what strikes me, right? Most effectively. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to that, you know, with all these parts, right? We as we communicate this to folks, we have to be communicating with love. Otherwise we're just noise. And there's so much noise in this world that we're called to not be part of that. And we're to be separate from that. We need to be clear and concise. And I think that's why I love the sermon in a sentence, because it cuts through everything. Right. So I think that's great. Yep.
Yeah. And to kind of go off what you're saying, everything we have to do is out of love. We love because God loved us. And in the Trinity, we see the fullness of love.
Yep.
You know, we see God the Father loving and creating. We see Jesus loving mm-hmm. and giving, sacrificing himself so that we can have forgiveness of sins. And we see the love of the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us through life. You know, I'll say before I became a Christian, as I look back, I see the Holy Spirit working in my life. Some people would call that prevenient grace, is the grace that goes before mm-hmm. you are in a relationship before you become a Christian. Mm-hmm. But I can look back and see the Holy Spirit drawing me, right? Closer to God, closer to Jesus. And that's out of love. That's the love of the entire Trinity of God, you know, the Trinity of God drawing me closer because he wants me to be redeemed. He wants me in a relationship with him. So we see exactly. In the Trinity, the fullness of love, just as we see the fullness of God in all three aspects, we see the fullness of love because God is love.
Yep. Absolutely. So I think that's a good spot for us to wrap up the deep dive into the message. So thank you, Josh. Yeah. Again, guys, check out the full message. You get to see more of Josh and Gloria's full screen video this time. So I mean that's worth going to it for, right?
Right. Absolutely. And just to interject a little bit about the messages, they won't always be done by me. If we're putting in video yep. and even some of the audio, the way the church I pastor at works right now is we have two pastors at our location who we co-pastor. So we take turns with the preaching and teaching, but also we're a church that has multiple locations. We have four locations, three in Ohio, one in India, and five locations. My bad.
Come on.
Cause we're, I know. We're just now starting to launch our virtual campus. And so we have, right now we have three different pastors in the rotation for online recordings. And at our location for audio recordings, we have two pastors in the rotation, myself and Pastor John. So they won't always be my messages, but we will have a wonderful, theologically sound, hopefully inspiring message for you each time we record.
Absolutely. And I think we're going to continue this series a little bit more because, again, yep. I think it's a great starting point for what we're doing here. So, with that said, I think we'll take a short break and get right back to the tasting. All right, everyone, and welcome back. I know we talked briefly that we would be giving a bourbon kind of a review. We're really just going to talk about a whiskey that we really like that is always on our shelves, or something special that we're sharing together and kind of go over our thoughts on it, how we use it, basic notes. I'm going to try to not get super snooty because Josh hears bourbon. So I don't want to go too far down that path. Exactly. So the one that we're going over today,
it is very sloshy resonance.
The one that we're going over today, see if I can get it in shot, is Evan Williams Bottled and Bond. I'm sticking with my theme for the day, which is I buy handles of whiskey. Mm-hmm. So
just to interject there.
Yeah.
I always buy party size because I am party size.
You are party size, so, as am I. So
party size bag of chips, I'm buying party size. Handle of whiskey, buying the handle. Anyways, exactly. Go ahead, buddy.
We do have those crab chips too, which are delicious, by the way. So this is a classification. Is this a straight bourbon? It is from the Heaven Hill Distillery. It's continual release. It's at least where I am. I know where Josh is. It's always on the shelves. I'm in North Carolina. Josh is in Ohio. So it is 100 proof, which we'll get into a little bit more when we talk about what Bottled and Bond is. It's the mash bill is 78% corn, 12% malted barley, 10% rye. Quick math skills, that is 100% of the ingredients. So I'm good on that.
I don't know how you did that, buddy.
It's quick, I mean, math. I a lot of rehearsal. So MSRP for me, in North Carolina, the blessing and curse of a regulated state is it's always the same price on the shelf. So for that handle, it is $31.95 MSRP. As we speak in January, North Carolina, the sale is $4 off that handle. So it is $27.
Ooh,
so I will be
deal.
Picking up a few more of them because this is what I have. This is what I have left. So you can see it's dwindling. And this is, again, one of my go-tos. That's why it is in here in my flask. I like to drink it neat. I like to mix it up. And with that said, I'm going to pass it over to Josh because I know we've dropped the term bottled in bond a lot.
Bottled in bond.
And just in case you don't know what that means, we'll give it over to Josh. Go ahead, JB.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll even say that it is MSRP $31.99 in Ohio as well, but we don't have the sweet $4 off sale right now.
It is sweet.
So Bottled and Bond is it's the consumer bill from 1890 or consumer law from 1897, Bottled and Bond Act. And what it was a way to regulate what goes into whiskey and how it's bottled. And so Bottled and Bond means that it's from one distillery, from one distillery season. So the distillery seasons run from January to June and then July to December. So it has to be from one distillery season, must be aged at least 4 years, and bottled at 100 proof. So that's what Bottled and Bond means. It's just basically a quality assurance because it is federally regulated. So there is federal supervision over all of that, that whole process. So in order to get that Bottled and Bond stamp of approval, you have to meet all of those criteria. Now, it doesn't have to be just 4 years. You can have a Bottled and Bond aged more than 4 years, but it has to be a minimum of 4 years in the barrel.
Yep. And at this price point, we're not getting more than 4 years, but
no,
this is a delicious one. I can't say it's probably my favorite thing the government's done, which is, I mean, it's a short list, but back when this bill went in, right, there was a lot of formaldehyde and people were really trying to stretch and they were bottling anything and adding colorings and to just bad things that were making people go blind and killing them. So
tobacco spit, battery acid,
exactly,
all kinds of stuff.
So we'll say that this is a good thing. It has survived and it gives us a consistent whiskey that we know what we're getting when we buy a bottle. Mm-hmm. So with that, I'm gonna pour. JB, have you poured?
I've already poured.
You've already sipped, haven't you?
I have. I poured out of my Stormtrooper canter.
That ad came up on my Facebook and I did not click it. And I feel cheated now that I did not click it.
My oldest son got it for me for Christmas this year. Also, at some point, I will drink out of one of my kitty cat glasses that James got me for Christmas.
That is delightful.
It is for the perfect pour of whiskey.
Mm. We are now at our quota of those jokes for the, actually for the entire season. We're just done. It's just
the problem with the Stormtrooper decanter is I miss all my shots.
Wow. Apparently there's quality a Star assurance. Wars yes. Unlike the bottle and bond quality assurance, we do not have quality assurance on this podcast. Clearly. Wow. Nope. All right. So now, since I have
JB's in the title, you're going to get full JB. That's true. That's all it is. That's
true. Now, since I have said it and my phone is in earshot, I'm sure that I will get a lot more ads for that decanter. So I'll be able to buy it then. Hmm. So what are you picking up? What are you picking up on the nose, JB?
So on the nose, give me. Yeah, for me today. What is that? I'm getting a spice, like a.
Getting a little gingerbread?
Like an. Yeah, it's almost like I almost want to say allspice, which ginger would be in there. Mm. I'm getting some very faint hints of vanilla. My nose is all the way in the glass.
It is. That's aggressive for 100 proof. I definitely pick up caramel. So, I definitely pick up the spiciness.
So what I do?
Yep, go please.
I start at the bottom and then I move the glass down. And the smell changes as you go up and down in the glass. Mm. So up at the when I have my nose up at the top, that's where I get that slight hint of vanilla. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the vanilla extract that my wife makes vanilla extract, homemade vanilla extract. Kind of reminds me of that.
Mm. I do pick up the ginger right away, and then as I pull it away, that's when I'm picking up the caramel, the vanilla. It's interesting.
Yeah. This is one of I call it my house bourbon. Mm-hmm. It's always in my decanters. I usually don't have the bottle out, but it's in my decanters. It's something one of my favorite things to do with it. I've mentioned my peaches and cherries before. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do is take some ice, throw it in a glass, pour in, you know, I pour as the Lord leads me.
Exactly.
So when he says stop pouring, I stop pouring. Mm. And then what I'll do is take some of the simple syrup from the cherries I make, pour that. It's almost like an old fashioned. And then I throw in a couple of the cherries, stir it up really good. And it's essentially a cherry old fashioned.
Delicious.
Because there's orange liqueur in there. There's even a little bit more whiskey in the cherries. There's the vanilla bean simple syrup in the cherries, and it is absolutely refreshing. Second thing I like to do, I mean, I do like to drink it neat, but bourbon, the Evan Williams Bottle and Bond, Cherry Coke Zero.
Agree.
And my cherries. It is just something that makes me happy.
Yeah, and at 100 proof, it stands up really well. Mm-hmm. You can't beat it for the price. I poured in, you know, Coke Zero, Cherry Coke Zero, even Mountain Dew Zero at sometimes, depending on how lazy I am and how far I want to walk for a can and what's cold in my fridge.
Right. Mm. Now on the palate, you know, getting some basic bourbon flavor, but I'm almost getting like an orange zest on the sides of my tongue. Mm. It's almost like an orange zest or citrus, a citrusy note. On the side of my tongue.
So the first I'm getting a little more oak than I normally do out of this, which is interesting. Definitely this
only being 4 years.
Yeah, definitely the sweet vanilla. I'm definitely picking that up. I'm not picking the orange up yet, but the second
I'm getting
we'll see
it
what
for
the
some
second
reason.
Is. The
now,
power of suggestion. I'm getting it.
So I've done that 1,000 times at like our bourbon night where I'll be like, man, this tastes like banana bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, that you're right. That does taste like banana bread. That's usually my one that really gets people is the banana
it
bread
does.
One. But this does not taste like banana bread. I was
no,
just saying.
Wrong distillery. It does have that.
No.
classic nutty to it a little bit.
It is a little nutty.
It's a bit
nutty. Not as nutty as a squirrel turd, but no. It is kind of nutty.
And then for it's the, like again, a, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, it's like eating, like you ate a piece of peanut butter toast and then now you're drinking a glass of bourbon.
Which sounds like a good morning. I don't know.
It does, may, actually.
That's
that may be how I start my days from here on out. It might help before I go into
it seems
into the church.
It seems reasonable. It seems reasonable. And it actually, for especially for the price, it lingers a little. It's not a super strong finish, but it still lingers pretty well for, again, $31 for a handle, right?
I mean, this one's known as an amazing value in the bourbon community. A lot of people like it for now.
They'll triple in price over the next several years.
You know what I found funny?
Huh.
Is so here in Ohio, you know that like there are allocated bourbons like everywhere else, but a lot of the stores in Ohio release their allocated bourbons on certain days, like the Kroger up near me, they put their stuff out at noon on Mondays. You know, and a lot of the Giant Eagle liquor stores put all of their stuff out on Saturdays. And I saw a posting recently that the Evan Williams single barrel was allocated. And I was like,
wow.
When did that stinking thing become allocated? Because it's not.
It's not. What? Yeah.
Yeah. So it was just really, I laughed too hard about it.
Say for the money, this is a great Evan Williams.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's usually on my shelf. At least for the past year and a half, 2 years, it's always been on my shelf just because it's so inexpensive and you can use it in multiple.
You can do anything things. With it. No matter what your mood is, you can do something with it. And like you said, it's great to have in a decanter so that when people come over to your house, you're pouring something that's, you know, $17 to $30, depending on what size of the bottle you get. It's a delicious pour. If they throw it in with a bunch of Coke, it doesn't upset you.
Nope.
You know, I think to me, it frees it up to be, you know, the best bourbon is however you like it. So it lets people enjoy it the way that they want to enjoy it. And again, 100 proof, you can do pretty much anything with it. It stands up and the flavor pulls through too, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. My wife uses it to make bourbon balls during the holiday season,
so which are delicious.
Yep. Yep.
And then I will be doing, again, through the magic, I will be doing an old fashioned. So I have some of JB's cherries in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the, I'm going cheap here. I am doing an old fashioned mix, but to match myself, I am going with some extra bitters because I am extra bitter.
There you go.
So some of that in there.
So the cherries, were they the sweet cherries or the tart cherries?
It was the most recent batch that you brought to me. I believe they're the tart.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, both have good flavor. Depends on what you like. I love the tart ones, especially in a bourbon and Coke.
Yep. I finished the sweet ones.
Old fashioned. Yeah.
So I am going to go a little bit of ice on this.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
you have to have ice in an old fashioned.
I'm not doing crushed ice because there's not that much magic to this podcast. But there's some. Poured from the trusty flask. And let's see. Again, just give it a little pour. There we go.
Yep.
Mixy, mixy. As
the Lord leads you.
Exactly. It's so one of the great things about this flask and one of the poor things, it has a power meter. So I know how full I am. So I can,
you know, when you need to plug it back in.
Yep. And I know when I need to unplug for a bit. Oh, look at that.
That's a thing of beauty, my friend.
Mm. Delicious. So yeah, with the even like I said, even in the old fashioned, it stands up.
Yeah. It's my mixing bourbon for sure at home. Because it stands up very well. I don't necessarily like it as much. I love a good whiskey and ginger ale. Mm-hmm. I don't like it necessarily as much in ginger ale because some of the nuttiness really comes out with ginger ale for some reason. Mm-hmm. So I like to use Fighting Cock as my whiskey and ginger ale.
Actually, I had some last night with some ginger ale and some ginger mule mix.
I'll have to pick some of that up when I come visit you here in a couple weeks.
It is
not
aplenty.
Available in Ohio. No. Not available in Ohio.
I trip over it when I walk to the stores in my state, though.
So. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And maybe we'll get lucky and it'll be the sale for February. Yeah.
That I would not complain. I would like to see some of that Ancient Age back on the shelf when I come down.
Yeah. I haven't seen it since you were here last.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. It was like everywhere when I came down. Maybe it's me.
I think it is you. The labels are out. So it's not like they're not getting it. I'm just not getting there at the right time. So I don't know if word got out, which would be a shame again, because it'd be another thing that's cheap that then all of a sudden.
Right. Well, that was another thing that I wouldn't say was became quote unquote allocated in Ohio. Mm-hmm. We're talking about ancient age 10 star, not the regular ancient age that's on the bottom shelf. But I went to Kroger one time to, you know, pick up something allocated. And so, you know, there were some what I would consider allocated items. And then they also had the ancient age 10 star. Yeah. And so I was going to buy the ancient age and one of the allocated bottles. And they said, no, you cannot only buy one of each. They were considering the ancient age allocated.
That's
as far as how they were selling it.
I mean, that's a $17 bottle. How?
But people love it because it is the same mash bill as Blanton's,
right?
And
it's delicious.
People call
it's
a Blanton's reject.
Great value.
It's great value. I love to mix that one too. one of the things I love to mix that with which they don't make it anymore. Which the only thing I ever used it for was a mixer was the Coke Zero Orange.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And so that mixed really well with the Coke Zero Orange because there was a good vanilla flavor to that ancient age. So it almost tasted like an orange creamsicle when I mixed it.
That sounds delicious.
Delicious. Mm.
Yeah, the ancient age went fast. Measures, Mark. Last time I had the ancient age, it went fast.
Oh, bro, I'm out.
I've been out for a while. Yeah, I've been out for a while. Yeah, about two bottles of that, and it went quick.
Because I came down in October 2021. Yeah.
And then coming soon in February.
Coming soon.
Hopefully, we'll be able to find those.
We'll do some looking while I'm there. Some might have to be some covert operations.
Absolutely.
So doesn't know.
Absolutely. Well, we will be heading south to a non-allocated state to try our luck as well. So
that's true. I'm looking forward to is that Korean barbecue place you talked about.
It's going to be delicious.
I'm going to put some hurting on some pork belly when I get there.
Are you? Saffron pork belly. Delicious.
Dude, I looked at that menu.
Mm-hmm. Man, oh, it's so good. Heaven. And it just keeps coming. That's the great thing.
So I think on see that, where they say,
go ahead.
If you have leftover items on your table, they're going to upcharge you.
They do. All you can eat where they bring out little bits of meat at a time around here, they do that. I'm sure there's waste. There won't be for us, though. If anyone...
No, I won't.
Yeah, for anyone not watching the video podcast, there will not be waste.
No, I mean,
no.
You don't get to be this physique by letting
that's
food
right.
go to waste.
Body by pork belly.
And body by pork belly and biscuits and gravy, man. Mm-hmm.
So I think with that, any other notes that you have, JB, on the Evan Williams Bottle and Bond before we conclude here for today? Oh, me too.
I love it. It's always on my shelf. If you haven't tried it, get you some.
Yep. And I think that's why we started with it, right? We started with a back to basics message and a back to basics bourbon, right? One that you, something you can always reference. And then as far as a bourbon goes, something you can always have on your shelf. It's great for guests. It's great for people who don't normally drink a whiskey, but also people who drink a lot of bourbon are not going to turn their nose up at it because it is delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank y'all for coming along on the maiden voyage of the JB Boblin Bourbon Podcast.
If you made it this far, we love you.
We do. If you
even if you didn't make it this far, we love you.
Do we though? I mean, it's they won't see it, so we don't. We don't love them at all.
So we don't have to. Yeah, you're going to hell.
They're terrible people.
I'm just kidding.
I'll probably cut that out.
Aww.
But
thank you for joining us. So we'll catch you next time.